Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. Join us here on the radio waves and bring up anything you want to discuss at 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us online. Just drop on by freetalklive.com and enjoy the features waiting for you on the site. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Joining you in studio, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Danica.
And so, of course, lots to talk about here tonight, including a shocking story, Johnson, you're going to be telling us about. At least the headline sounds shocking. I don't know anything more about it. It's the banning of trolling in New Zealand. Also, the First Church of Cannabis has apparently filed their lawsuit that we had discussed earlier in the week, the possibility that that was going to happen. They are suing, apparently they're suing the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis. So we can talk about that. Of course, whatever's on your mind goes as well. 855-453. Ross Ulbricht has written a letter, a public letter, which is being touted as the first letter that has been released from Ross Ulbricht publicly, but that is not true. The first letter that was released from Ross Ulbricht was written to an activist here in Keene back in February and was ultimately restricted by request of his parents and by request of Ross directly.
In the case that it had some sort of impact on his final.
That was the fear, was that it was going to have a negative effect on his sentencing because in the letter, in this first letter, not the one that's been getting a bunch of play in the tech websites today, but in this original letter, he kind of, you know, basically supports the activists. He supports Derek Jay, who's one of our co-hosts, and other Keene and Manchester Liberty activists who drove down to the trial and held signs outside of the courthouse supporting Ross, and they didn't want that his opinions to possibly affect the sentencing, which, of course, it had no effect on the sentencing. It was, you know, they threw him to the wolves. They sentenced him to a life in prison because he created a website. And for those who don't know, we're talking about the Silk Road. That is the underground, or was the most infamous underground drug marketplace on the Internet in the so-called dark web over the Tor anonymizing network. Silk Road's been taken down since October of 2013. Silk Road 2.0 came up, lasted about a year, then got taken down. There is a third Silk Road, but it is nowhere near the popularity of the original Silk Road. So I think that particular brand is pretty much sunk at this point. And now the man who created it, Ross Ulbricht, is sitting in a prison cell and may be there for the rest of his life. So here's a story from Joe Mullen over at ArsTechnica.com, where he writes, convicted Silk Road mastermind Ross Ulbricht has made his first public statement since he was sentenced to life in prison, writing a letter addressed to Porkfest, a libertarian gathering that he has previously attended, which is, to my knowledge, not true. That's some misinformation. I don't believe Ross Ulbricht has ever attended the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Right.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But I'm pretty sure that that hasn't occurred.
Well, it does seem like it in the letter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he did go quietly there 1 year. Actually, I haven't even honestly looked through the letter yet. I only glanced at it. I figured if it was from Ross, it must be worth reading. Let's see here. Here's the actual letter. Hi, Porkfest. I'm writing you from my cell in New York City. Sorry, I couldn't make it this year. Unfortunately, the worst-case scenario has played out for me, and I've been sentenced to spend the rest of my life in prison.
Right. Now, I could be misinterpreting very easily. It's that line right there, sorry I couldn't make it this year.
That does make it couldn't make it this
year.
Sure,
but it does make it seem like he's been there before.
No, I think you're reading too much
into
it.
Well, if you remember, his letter in February did say that he hoped to make it this year. This was, of course, before the ruling, so maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Good point, yeah. So he goes on to say, I am an eternal optimist, though, and I will never give up hope for my release. I have confidence that the appeals court will recognize the errors by some and outright corruption by others in the government and give me some kind of remedy. It could be a new trial where hopefully the whole story can be told, or the case could be dismissed altogether. Seems unlikely, at least in the latter part. But maybe, maybe he has a chance of getting a new trial. For those who have not been following the case closely, there are at least two federal agents who have now apparently pled guilty, from what I've heard, to felony charges of basically being corrupt scumbags.
Wow.
They, yeah, I don't know if you'd heard about them.
No.
They did plead guilty. One of them was a Secret Service agent. The other was a DEA agent. They were both involved in investigating Ross. They were involved in the takedown and all of that. And turns out the DEA agent, Mark Force is his name, he was actually masquerading as different roles on the Silk Road site. He would use multiple accounts to essentially blackmail and extort Dread Pirate Roberts, who was the operator of the website. And he was also giving him insider information, giving Dread Pirate Roberts, because there could be more than one person who was Dread Pirate Roberts. It was never really proven in the trial that it was Ross Ulbricht the entire time. The jury sort of bought the idea that it was Ross Ulbricht enough to convict him, but I wasn't convinced. And the story from the defense was essentially that someone else was Dread Pirate Roberts at some point. So maybe it wasn't Ross that was extorted by this DEA agent. Maybe it was the other guy. And maybe it was the other guy, or at least one of the other Dread Pirate Robertses, who was given the heads up that, hey, you're under investigation by the federal government. Because if you remember, one of the first things the defense said in their opening statement was that Ross got, he sort of let go of control of the site, gave it to somebody else to handle, or sold it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then later was somehow roped back in to be set up as the fall guy for the takedown of the site. So it's possible that this corrupt DEA agent gave information to the different Dread Pirate Roberts, said, hey, you're under federal investigation right now, you better watch out. And then that other Dread Pirate Roberts got out of there and somehow managed to entice Ross to come back and take over the site.
Right.
That was the story from the defense at the trial, and it sort of fits, at least, with the idea that, you know, these hitmen for hire were brought in, and one of them was this undercover agent. And anyway, so these federal cops, they pleaded guilty to corruption. They were trying to steal Bitcoin. They were extorting money from Dread Pirate Roberts. They were siphoning money off the top of the confiscated Bitcoin that the government had taken. And that's just scratching the surface of what they did. And so the fact that, you know, these guys were involved pretty heavily in the takedown of the site and the arrest of Ross Ulbricht suggests that, well, a lot of that evidence is no good anymore. A lot of the evidence that the federal government was presenting here essentially is tainted by the fact that at least two of their agents, and there may be others who are being investigated now, too. Who knows how wide or deep this particular corruption scandal goes here.
Right.
Sure.
So we got two that have gone down already, and that should invalidate quite a bit of the evidence at the original trial. So hopefully that alone will be enough to grant him at least a new trial. I highly doubt it's going to result in the case being kicked out entirely.
Right.
But I suppose it's possible.
Maybe a less severe sentence, I hope.
Now, I wonder if with a new trial, one, you know, you get a new judge, and two,
would it get a new judge?
Well, you would think so, right? Wouldn't it be a new
judge? I don't know.
Well, okay, so potentially
nice.
A new judge, which I think would be interesting.
But this judge was awful.
Right. But then the second question would be, will the family this time be more amenable to activists being present?
Darn good question. That would definitely be a good question to ask his mother, because I don't think they feel like they did anything wrong by restricting the activists.
Right.
Because it was the first day the activists were out there with signage, and they were doing jury outreach. And then after the first day of trial, the judge threatened everybody in the courtroom,
right,
except for the jury. They threatened that they were going to sequester the jury and keep them basically locked up.
But so what? Like, nothing would have changed. You're like, okay, so you threatened that. Good for you. Keep threatening that. Because it didn't make a difference.
The judge threw the book
at Ross, you know, like.
Right.
And so what does it matter? You know,
look, but hindsight's 20/20. Sure. From the perspective
but
of a
mom. But that's what I'm saying.
Who,
now they have 20/20 hindsight, and they can say, well, maybe this time, let's see how it plays out if we let the activists do what they have come to do.
It's all ultimately going to be up to Ross, right? I mean, the claim was that it was Ross
wanted
who,
them there, I thought.
No. No.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, he had agreed with the idea of them being asked to leave. He supported them, what they were doing, but at the same time,
right,
agreed to have them not do that anymore.
Right.
And it didn't work out. Toll-free number is 855-453. There's a little bit more here to Ross's letter that has now been published, thanks to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We'll share more of it coming up here, 855-453. You can join it.
For P150, P150GA, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet by calling now 1-800-496-5920. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-496-5920. That's 1-800-496-5920. 1-800-496-5920.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Honey, it's time for dinner. What are you doing over there on your computer?
I'm shopping for a new wallet. Mine is falling apart. Hey, did you know there's a company called ID Stronghold that makes shielded wallets to prevent electronic pickpocketing?
Oh, I didn't realize there was such a thing as electronic pickpocketing. What is that?
Well, apparently, many of the new credit and debit cards being issued have radio chips inside them called RFID that transmit our banking information to card readers when we pay. Unfortunately, a bad guy can also get one of these readers and go around the city scanning people, collecting their credit card numbers and personal information without us knowing it.
Wow, that sounds scary. Since you're getting a new wallet anyway, you should definitely get an ID Stronghold shielded wallet. Are they more expensive?
No. In fact, I can get a shielded leather wallet from IDStronghold.com for the same price or less than regular unshielded wallets from other stores.
Sounds great. My wallet isn't falling apart yet, but let me pick one out too. I want to be protected, and these wallets at IDStronghold.com look fantastic.
Hi, this is Mark Edge, host of Free Talk Live. We've been witnessing a meltdown of the very economic engine that powers this country. With a printing press tethered to Washington politicians, bureaucrats, and central bankers, how can we put our trust in paper money? For years, I've been buying gold and silver from Midas Resources, and you should too. Come see gold.freetalklive.com or call 877-357-9938 for a free book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold. With Washington, D.C. delivering more debt and printed promises, common sense tells us the future of the trend is obvious. Everyone listening should visit gold.freetalklive.com or call 877-357-9938. I trust Midas Resources for my gold, silver, platinum, and you can too. Again, I want you to have this book, and it's free. It's gold.freetalklive.com or 877-357-9938. 877-357-9938.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Welcome back. More Free Talk Live now here at 855-450-FREE. That's the toll-free number. We've got Skype as well. You can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. It's Ian Johnson and Danica in the studio. And don't forget about ProXPN. If you get online, whether it's your cell phone, laptop, internet, on your home computer, desktop at work, whatever, if you got ProXPN, you're encrypted. Your internet connection will no longer be able to be spied upon by your very own internet service provider. They are likely recording every website that you visit and all the search terms that you enter, and they're probably logging that information for, in some cases, as long as several years. You can put a stop to that by using ProXPN. Go to proxpn.com/FTL, and you can get started there with Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Linux, pretty much whatever operating system you're on. They've got a ProXPN for you. You get connected with ProXPN, and you are protected from prying and spying. Go to proxpn.com/FTL. And when you're ready to upgrade to their premium account, because you can start for free, but the free account is fairly limited in bandwidth, you get unlimited bandwidth with a premium account. Servers around the world you can access, you can privately torrent, and get past regionally blocked websites. Plus, ProXPN does not keep records of your online habits, and you get it all with a risk-free 7-day money-back guarantee. Go to proxpn.com/FTL and use promo code FTL50. You'll get 50% off the regular monthly price when you get their annual account with code FTL50. Breaks the price down to about $5 a month, and that price is good for the lifetime of your account. So go to proxpn.com/FTL, and don't forget promo code FTL50. As we continue here with the Silk Road letter, this is the first, I would say the most accurate way to describe this letter is the first letter that Ross intended to be released publicly, because he did send a letter to a keen activist back in, I think it was February after his sentencing, or excuse me, after he was found guilty, before his sentencing, after he was found guilty. And that letter I did publish at freekeen.com. I didn't ask permission to publish it, and subsequently was requested to remove that from being published. I did, and out of respect for Ross, because I actually wasn't sure if it was just his mom who was saying, hey, take that down, or if it was actually Ross who wanted that not to be public.
Right.
And so I actually was able to talk to Ross, and he did explain to me that, yes, you should take that down. And so I did, but I don't think me publishing it had any effect whatsoever on that judge and her decision to sentence him to life in prison for basically coding a website.
Oh, you don't think you made Forrest Grump even more grumpy by publishing that?
Forrest Grump is the fun name that has been applied to this judge, Judge Forrest, in this case. But yeah, I highly doubt she was given a copy of, you know, his letter.
I know, I'm trying to be
and
funny.
And made her decision there. I mean, look, she had it in for Ross from day number in this trial, and was ruling against him in the defense time and time again. It was really clear. In fact, the federal prisoners we talked to that had called the show, we were on in Marion, Illinois, and there's actually a federal prison there, and a lot of the guys listened to us.
And this is really,
they said he was going to get life.
I mean, this is really, you know, as I think about it, this boils down to a particular set of logic with how this is sort of working with government attacking the internet, attacking websites. And it's sort of like how government works on a lot of levels, which is that what they're doing is they're using a proxy, right? They're saying that someone is responsible, like a website is responsible, a website operator is responsible for the content of what the users are saying. And I guess I'm kind of comparing this in my mind to where else is government one step removed? You know, they sort of say, like, a liberal Democrat will try and get away with saying, well, I don't support violence, I just elect the people that send the cops to your house to steal the money from you in taxes. It's like a proxy, right? Like this one step removed from actually being responsible. So
their hands are clean.
Right. Their hands are clean. So they're, you know, we're not actually, you know, we're protecting people by, you know, making sure that these website operators are responsible for the user's content. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's like these users can just go to a different website and post content and just keep destroying, you know, completely unfettered.
And, destroying reputation.
Yeah, destroying reputations of websites, getting sites shut down. I mean, because they're not being held responsible. The parties who are doing the damage are not the ones who are being held responsible.
Well, right, and then the
it's sort of the same way with government. Government, the people who are electing these people into government aren't being held responsible for their actions. You know, the people who are
The people of making the choice at the ballot box aren't responsible.
Well, in a way, they are though. They're
not really,
but they're not. You're not.
They're
people should be saying that if you are supporting a politician signing something into law, you are a violent person. You're not being held responsible for being a violent person, but you're a violent person. If you support a ban on something, if you support licensing something, then what you're supporting is men with guns going and hurting people to make
harassing. You're just harassing people, Johnson. Stop threatening and intimidating people.
Right, exactly.
This is what I've been accused of for saying basically the same thing to parking enforcers. Like, hey, you're threatening people, you're hurting people.
I'm just doing my job.
So
it's like what?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and it really is an attack on free speech. If you look at the Reason.com situation,
right,
where there were commenters on Reason's website who had commented some things about the judge in the Ross Ulbricht case, and now the federal government came after Reason and said, you need to hand over information about your site's users to us, or else. And then they further put them on a gag order to where they were not able to reveal until a couple weeks later that this investigation was going on. And that's a really scary kind of precedent for chilling free speech here in America. And we're going to talk in a little bit about free speech being restricted in New Zealand, where apparently trolling has now been made illegal. But I think this all ties in together.
Well, you know, actually, beyond that, part of what was in my mind here is not just this ruling in New Zealand, but also what's going on in Europe and what may be coming to the United States is this whole right to be forgotten.
Oh, yeah, where Google, you can order Google to remove certain search results.
Right. I mean, talk about a chill on free speech. I mean, it's essentially, you know, like, oh, if you do something and someone else reveals it, and then you can just make all the history of everything go away about your... I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And what I think, what I would hope, and I hope that Google does this, and I hope other search engines do this, that if there's a right to be request, a right to be forgotten request that's filed, like let's say a company files a right to be forgotten request, or a politician or something like that, what the company who's having this right to be forgotten request should do is carpet bomb. So, like, let's say a politician says, you know, like, Romney or, you know, whoever says, well, this incident, or actually, better example, Santorum.
Okay.
Because Santorum, if you Google Santorum, you're going to get all sorts of fun results.
Yeah.
But, so let's say Santorum says, well, I don't want this about me on the internet. Right to be forgotten. I'm filing right to be forgotten request. What they should do is just carpet bomb his website, everything.
Who's
about
they?
They being like Google. You know, whoever's responsible for having to actually enact this do not or this right to be forgotten request.
And what do you? How do you describe carpet bombing?
Yeah, so carpet bombing. What I'm saying is that don't just cherry pick and laser out exactly what needs to be forgotten according to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Remove everything about them. You have. Oh, your personal website. Oh, you're a politician. Well, guess what? You're not in the search results at all anymore.
Nothing. All or nothing.
You're gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You filed a right to be forgotten request. Bye bye. You vanish from the internet.
Unfortunately. It appears that Google is just complying rather than doing what you're
actually,
suggesting.
Actually, I've heard otherwise.
Really?
Actually.
Okay. I would like to know more about that. Our toll-free number is 855-453. More from Ross Ulbricht coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pillett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 1-888-379-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-888-379-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-888-379-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-888-379-MYTV. 1-888-379-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-888-379-MYTV. 1-888-379-MYTV.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
We're here at Free Talk Live. You can join us on the radio waves at 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. Joining you in studio, it's me, Ian.
And Johnson.
And Danica.
And hey, you can join us on Skype as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. If you have not yet done so, do send a contact request over. We'll approve it as soon as I notice it come in. And then after it's approved, you're good to go to call us on Skype. And that usually means you're going to sound better that way, too. So Skype username's lrn.fm. If you've got comments on Ross Ulbricht, he apparently sent a letter to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I was only able to catch a portion of his mom's speech. Lynn Ulbricht, she attended Porkfest again this year. She was there last year and again then this year. And there was a thread on Facebook where people are saying that they didn't know how to approach her. They didn't know, like, what to say to Lynn Ulbricht, who is, again, this mom of Ross, and obviously she's distraught over what has happened with her son, and so I guess people were having trouble kind of knowing how to really approach that and be empathetic, because it's hard to it would be hard to put oneself in those shoes, right? I mean, unless you've actually gone through losing a loved one to the prison system for a period of time, you probably don't exactly know right. what that feeling is like.
Unfortunately, I know exactly how I would have approached her at Porkfest had I been able to.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, my approach would have been, "Would you like some bulgogi?"
On the house?
Sure.
On the house.
Yeah, you guys were cooking at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and a lot of people were raving about y'all's bulgogi. I don't know if you heard.
Korean barbecue
rumors.
Beef, for anyone who doesn't know what bulgogi
yeah,
is.
It smelled great, and you were one of the last booths standing that actually had food on the final day.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty surprised by that. That it was like, everybody, they've run out of food. I'm like, it's
what?
Saturday morning. I'm like, it's Saturday morning. There's an entire day left, and there's a grocery store just down the road. And I had just gotten back from the grocery store. I'm like, okay, well, I've got prep to do. You know, and I'm cutting up meat and stuff like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you running out of food on Saturday morning? It's like...
Porkfest was great.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last day is normally when people are selling out of food, but I guess
it was probably a
smart thing that people were running out of food on Saturday because...
You don't want to have too much.
Well, you don't want to be necessarily selling on Sunday, and it would have been very difficult to sell this particular Sunday because it was raining.
And it was raining hard, pouring.
And we had to tear down our tent in the rain.
In the rain.
You know, it was really unbelievable.
Well, it would have been fun to have Ross there. I mean, he's never been to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. The letter here that he has written to Porkfest... has been released at freeross.org, and it's been picked up by a number of tech websites. This one from Ars Technica. I'm going to continue here. He says that he's hoping that he can get a new trial or have the case dismissed altogether based on some of the newly revealed corruption amongst the DEA and Secret Service officers in this case. There have now been two officers that have pleaded guilty to felony charges of corruption. Anyway, going on here, he writes, in many ways... My struggle is just getting started now that it's going to the higher courts, so I still need your help. Mounting an effective appeal is not easy. I'm confident in my team, but there's only so much we can do without your donations. What we can be sure of is that the government will spend as many of your tax dollars as is needed to keep me behind bars, so please help however you can. I hope my story has shed light on some of the issues we face these days. There are many, but please don't let what's happened to me lead you to despair. Keep standing for liberty and respect for our rights. Keep fighting for your freedom, and eventually we will win. Cheers from Ross. So a very sort of uplifting piece of mail from a man who...
Ever optimistic.
Yeah, he is obviously very optimistic. And, I mean, really, you got nothing to lose at this point. He's lost it all. He's in federal prison with a life sentence with no possibility of parole. And I think it's important to reiterate this. He's in there for running a website. Maybe he sold some mushrooms. He might have sold some mushrooms on the site early in the day. Or early in the whole...
the day of the
time.
Yeah, the first day.
Existence of the site. Yeah, early in its days. And that's it. You know, he's not some sort of drug kingpin. Yeah, he probably collected a fee on every single item that was listed on the website, but there were items that were listed on the site that were legal as well. You could buy shipping supplies, for instance, through the Silk Road.
And so here's the thing that a lot of people have said, so I know I'm repeating this, but we don't see the creator of Craigslist in prison for all of those murders that have happened as a result of people meeting up on Craigslist.
Oh, man. I've heard about that.
Yeah. I mean,
How many of those have there been?
I don't think there's been that many, but there has been. I mean, there's been at least, I want to say, 2 or 3.
Somebody's gotten killed. Somebody's probably gotten robbed. Probably a lot of people have been robbed.
People have gotten hurt. I'm sure people have been screwed over. I mean, I did a very dumb thing back then and used Craigslist to get a roommate. Hint, don't do that. Do a background check if you're doing that, but that's a story for another time.
All the gun and drug running that the CIA has been doing?
Well, they're the government, so they're...
That's what I'm saying. We don't see the creator of Craigslist in prison.
Right. Should the Craigslist guy be charged with pimping? I mean, because there's also people that are putting adult ads on.
I don't think that ever came up in any of these trials that happened to do with the Craigslist killer or anything like that. Never once did the creator of the Craigslist come up. We should charge him with a crime.
I suppose, I guess my point here about bringing up the CIA is that I don't want to be giving them any more ideas about other private websites in terms of things like Craigslist. I think that, you know, rather than suggesting that, you know, hey, why aren't these other websites being held responsible? My idea here is, why aren't the government organizations being held responsible for doing as much or worse than what happened on the Silk Road? Because governments directly, government organizations that are supposed to be responsible directly for preventing drugs and guns and violence, supposedly, have been the ones who have been responsible for running the guns and selling the drugs and causing massive amounts of violence.
Now, obviously,
and stealing money from people.
None of us want to see the Craigslist founder go to jail, right?
Sure.
Like, you weren't suggesting that he should go to jail.
Right,
it's inconsistent.
It's completely inconsistent.
But you know how some bureaucratic politician would interpret hearing anything about talking about, like, what? These things are happening? We need to prosecute exactly like we prosecuted Ross Ulbricht. And we need to hold all these websites accountable. Let's get Zuckerberg for every, you know, supposed child abduction incidents that is happening on Facebook. Let's get everyone.
Let's get Elon Musk because he had a stake in PayPal once, and we all know how much PayPal has screwed over.
We all know how
people.
Dangerous the internet is. Every website creator should be arrested because the internet is the devil.
Well, obviously, you've gone a little bit crazy there, but, you know, a little hyperbolic. But nonetheless, it's not unreasonable to think that this is going to get worse, that they've gone after Ross Ulbricht. They've convicted him for this and for essentially coding, right? I mean, when you're coding, this is speech, is it not? I mean, if you're typing things into a computer and you're saving a file, you've just spoken into that file, right? That's by definition, should be freedom of speech. And so computer code should have freedom of speech protections. But in this case, the government didn't like the reason why this website existed, which, of course, was to give people access to a free marketplace where you could sell almost anything. Now, there were certain things that were prohibited. You could not sell poison, you could not sell child pornography, and you could not sell weapons on the Silk Road. I believe those were the three things that – there may have been more, but those are three big ones. And so it wasn't a totally open marketplace, but
you can't sell weapons-grade plutonium.
I'm
just thinking, like, what kind of random thing? I mean, that's a weird list. Just in my mind, it's just
why is
weird...
it so weird? I mean, not,
I don't know.
Most people don't like the idea of child pornography, and people don't want people to be poisoned.
Still,
and further, what was the third thing? Child porn, poison, weapons.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, they actually did try to do weapons for. On a different site. They had the Armory,
right,
which didn't really go anywhere. It didn't work out. Hardly anybody was selling anything on it, so they shut it down.
Of course not, because you can get the weapons. These are all computer geeks, and you can get your weapons for free by 3D printing them.
Well, there's that. Although I think when the Silk Road opened, that didn't exist, right? Silk Road started in 2011.
Oh, I think you might be right.
And I don't think the 3D printed gun came out until 2012 or 2013.
I think 2013, actually.
Yeah, 2013, because I remember seeing some 3D printed stuff at Porkfest in 2013.
Right. We'll come back with more here. You can share your thoughts at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Let's talk more about freedom of speech. There's a crackdown coming, apparently, on trolls in New Zealand. Johnson has the story, and this really strikes at home for Johnson, because he's done a little bit of trolling. There's more on the way here. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
You, me, and BTC is your Bitcoin and Liberty podcast. Cryptocurrency decrypted.
We're sitting down with Mr. Jason King. If you want to work with the government, feed homeless people, man.
Jeffrey Tucker, what's possible in the Bitcoin space? It sounds a little like science fiction, but if you wait enough time, it becomes a reality.
Angela Keaton from antiwar.com.
This is what the United States does, involves killer robots. For Bitcoiners, this is a way to get around that.
Subscribe at youmeandbtc.com.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
All right, so suddenly Walmart, eBay, Amazon, everybody wants to ban the rebel flag. Well, the rebel flag is an important part of American history. The rebel flag is still a long-standing symbol of Southern pride and Southern heritage. So if the big retailers want to play in the political correctness and try to deny the history of America, let them. Go to ourflags.com. That's R, like rebel, R, letter R. Ourflags.com. Get your rebel flag before they actually do outlaw the things, huh? Ourflags.com. That's ourflags.com. Go now.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
We're back with more Free Talk Live. Time for you if you want to join us here. We've got plenty of it. 855-453. You don't have to talk about Ross Ulbricht and his case, which is on the slow road to appeals court. Not sure when it's going to get its first hearing. Obviously, as we know more, we will inform you here. I should mention this, though. Did mention it previously. We were reading a letter from Ross Ulbricht, who's the founder of the Silk Road. He's now sentenced to life in prison for it. That he is asking for help. If you would like to assist, you can contribute to his legal fund at freeross.org. That's where you can go to chip in via Bitcoin, and I think they'll take check and PayPal as well. So freeross.org. They are looking to raise a few $100,000. They've already raised like 300-something thousand, but they're looking to raise 600,000. So they're about halfway to their goal. And it's a long way to get to $600,000 in funding. So, I mean, I can't say I'm particularly happy with his legal team, but he says he is. You know, in his letter to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, he says he really likes his legal team. And I don't think it was the right choice on their part to admit in their opening statement that he created the Silk Road. Yeah. I think that was probably a really poor approach. But, you know, that's just me. I'm not a legal expert. Who knows what their strategy was? Maybe that strategy would have worked had they been allowed to actually present their case. But, of course, the judge in the case basically neutered their case, prevented them from truly being able to even call the witnesses they wanted to call. They were prevented from calling Andreas Antonopoulos, who we've had on this show. He's like a Bitcoin guru guy. Mm-hmm. He's really great at explaining Bitcoin to new people, to people who have never heard of the idea before, this decentralized currency that, you know, is not issued by any state or any bank, for instance. Andreas Antonopoulos is a brilliant Bitcoin communicator, and he was prohibited from testifying at the trial by the judge, Judge Forrest, in this particular case. So there's a lot that was wrong with the Ross Ulbricht trial, and maybe he's actually got a shot at getting a retrial. I sure hope so. But at the same time, it's hard to get your hopes up with the federal court system because you are bound to be disappointed at some point. So we're starting to talk about the chilling effect on freedom of speech here that not only is indicated by the Ross Ulbricht conviction, the fact that a man who programmed and ran a website is guilty of federal crimes because of what was done with the website. Now, certainly you could say he knew what was going on with the site. I mean, he didn't just put the site up and then leave it there and walk away from it. He was an active administrator. He was, if you're an administrator on the Silk Road, you had certain responsibilities, sure, like dealing with customer disputes. Customer says, hey, so-and-so didn't send me the product, or the, you know, the vendor says, yes, I did, and then, you know, you kind of have to mediate that to some extent. So, you know, that's one of the things he was likely doing as administrator. And, of course, he was working with the other administrators on the site as well to make sure they were doing their jobs and all that. So it wasn't like he was hands-off. But all that said, I mean, to send someone to prison for life, they really obviously were trying to so-called send a message to other people with this case. Like, see what happens when you run your own website without, you know, this illegal concept. We're going to put you... your nose to the grindstone, stone, so to speak, here, and punish you to the maximum. So it's really tragic. And, again, you can follow the latest over at freeross.org. So, Johnson, you've got a story from New Zealand where apparently they have made trolling illegal.
That's true. I touched on the story a couple weeks ago with Mark just a bit. And, you know, as it is, we're doing it at the end of the show, and, you know, it gets busy.
Yep.
So we didn't actually finish it. So I want to definitely jump back into the story because I think it's huge and scary because of how these governments like to copycat each other.
All right.
So New Zealand is now the most recent country to censor free speech on the internet, preventing Tumblr trolls and cyberbullies from being jerks to people online. The country passed a bill called the Harmful Digital Communications Bill in hopes of abetting cyberbullying. The bill would censor posts that are racist, sexist, show religious intolerance, or hassle people about disability or sexual orientation.
So basically, they're banning 70% of the internet here.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
That's a lot of the content on the internet.
Yeah. The bill states that any online post that creates serious emotional distress... that's not subjective at all.
Oh, my.
And is subjected to negotiation, mediation, or persuasion, but continues and creates the offenses of not complying with an order and causing harm by posting digital communication is deemed criminal. So basically, if someone calls you a ham planet on Facebook and you ask them to stop, but they instead post a meme with ham planet across your fat rolls,
mm-hmm,
litigation is now permissible.
Wow.
Haters,
this is about as bad
hate
as it can be.
Yeah.
Wow.
The bill also includes an offense for incitement to suicide, the most serious offense, which would result in years of jail for the offender.
Now, we've seen this in the United States. They have these so-called cyberbullying laws that were created in the wake of, I think it was like a 13-year-old, mm-hmm, took her own life after ostensibly being harassed by, I believe in this,
yeah,
the case that I'm recalling, was actually a mother who was masquerading as though she were a teenager in the girl's class.
Yeah,
and
I remember
was
that
basically
too.
It wasn't her own mother. It was a different mom, and that mom was essentially harassing this young,
right,
lady online, and she took the wrong road out. But they passed these cyberbullying laws, which I'm not a huge fan of. I mean, look, I'm sorry. I don't like the idea of bullying. I certainly don't support that. But at the same time, it is the internet. You can turn it off. It's not the same thing. Right. It's not the same thing as having somebody like push you and demand your lunch money or throw you in a garbage can or something like that.
It's not like every service on the planet has a block function.
Well, yeah, I am just thinking like the very extreme cases where these kids often may get stalked or the teasing and the trolling comes from the internet straight to their own schools. Now, realize this, that when they get trolled online, sometimes it won't follow them to school, but maybe they're going to, maybe the kids that are harassing them on Tumblr are also going to harass them at school too, because there's local kids.
Well, now criminal harassment is where you will not stop messing with somebody when they ask you to.
Right.
So in theory, you could go after somebody for criminal harassment charges if they are sending communications directly to you. So so let's say that you're getting somebody's bothering you on the internet and you say, hey, stop that. I don't want to ever hear from you again. And that person continues, that would likely meet the definition of criminal harassment. However, if the person posts to their own profile, oh, that Danica, she's the such and such,
I don't have to follow that person. I don't block them and whatever.
That actually sounds like kind of like what this law is saying, so maybe this is a non-issue, because it does say, the bill states that any online post that creates serious emotional distress and is subjected to negotiation, mediation, or persuasion, but continues and creates the offense of not complying with an order and causing harm by posting digital communication is deemed criminal. So it sounds like if somebody is blocked or requests to stop and then continues, that's when this becomes a
criminal. If they're posting on their own Tumblr and this troll is just harasses them and won't stop, and then they block them, and then the troll finds another way to create another profile, then it's getting really serious.
So I've got a little bit more detail about this.
Sure.
It's interesting. So we talked about the suicide, sort of the incitement to suicide one, but what about the regular offense for this? What's the punishment for that? Well, other cyberbullies could face 2 years in jail or a maximum fine of 50,000 New Zealand currency, which equates to about $33,900 U.S. for harassing posts. Wow.
Okay, so just to clarify, the beginning of what is illegal, can you read the very beginning of it again?
Sure. You want me to read this?
The definition of what is outlawed.
Sure. The bill states that any online post that creates serious emotional distress...
See, that's the problem, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Any online post, that's where it's different from a post directed at someone, meaning that, like, you have sent me a message directly versus you're just posting on your own profile.
Right.
You should be able to get on your own profile and say, Ian is a poopy head, if you want to. Whereas if you send me that message and I tell you to stop and then you continue, that's sort of the definition of criminal harassment.
Yeah, so this is any online
post. Freedom
of
speech should be able, you should be able to say what you want in your own arena. In your own property,
and then if someone is bugging, just say, "Hey, stop!" And if they don't stop, you can just say, "Okay, blocked or removed or something." And that person cannot post on your profile.
So not only does that post have to create serious emotional distress, but it also must be subjected to negotiation, mediation, or persuasion, whatever that means.
Well, I think that means that the person is trying to stop you, right? Like trying to say, "Hey,
well, you
please
could probably
leave
get like
alone.
A mod or someone from, let's use Tumblr for example. You can get a mod from Tumblr and say, "Hey, this person is harassing me," and then the moderator attempts to talk to the troll, and the troll still doesn't try. And
does that ever work?
I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that's probably what they're talking about.
I mean, does arguing or try, right? I mean, but what they're saying is here, the first post isn't the illegal one. You know, when you send the first insulting message, it's after you say, "Hey, stop that," or you try to negotiate, "Leave me alone," or "I would appreciate you not doing that."
So the rest of it is, if you don't comply and it causes harm by posting digital communication, that's what makes it criminal. If you're
scary stuff.
Not in compliance with the order.
By the way, New Zealand does not have a constitution. I don't know if you knew that. So they can kind of just do whatever they want there, and there's no governing document whatsoever. It's Free Talk Live. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
This is Shaquille O'Neal.
And the Shaquettes.
Reminding you that anytime.
Anytime.
Is a good time.
Good time.
For the cooling, drying, freshening of Gold Bond powder spray. Like after the gym.
Or a crowded elevator ride.
or golf.
Or working with farm animals.
Or a hard day's work.
Like sports casting?
You said it, ladies. Stay cool with Gold Bond Powder Spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.